2 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning. We're going to pick it up in verse number 9, and we're going to read down through verse number 12. And I'm going to be honest with you again, I had a very hard time to pick out an outline for this, but I'm looking at it, I'm studying, I'm like, wow, God, you gave me an outline. And so I'm going to follow this morning. We're going to be good. I'm just hot this morning, that's all. The beard, it gives you an extra insulation on the face, and once my face gets warm, my whole body gets warm, so that's where I'm at. Well, let's begin reading verse number 9. It says, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Back up to verse number 1, and we're going to read down to this chapter verse again. Kind of give you a history where we've been. So verse number 1, it says this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Again, class, what is perilous times? Trouble times. Why is it trouble?
Sin.
So it's a reflection of people, right? Not the world itself, but the people that are in it. Okay, so it goes on, and Paul begins this list. Verse number 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now, last week we dealt with this verse a little bit, and even in the church you have people that put on a form of godliness, do they not? When in fact, they're not really godly at all. They know how to play the part. I grew up in a preacher's home. I know how to play the part very well. But we all have to come to a point in time in our life, it needs to be real in our heart. It's not just an outward thing. It needs to be real in our heart. So with these verses that I just read here, real quick, has anybody come across anything that was mentioned here with people this week? And I'm asking this question for a reason. Because not only were they around in this time period, but they're around here. Did you not encounter somebody this week that spoke a lie to you? Lots of people. Did you not come across somebody who was really full of themselves? They're here. And they're all around us. And so we need to be careful of these things. So verse number 6, it says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." So here is, again, an important thing for us to stop at real quick, because Paul's warning Timothy of the type of people that he's going to be dealing with. And then he's also warning him, hey, he didn't say it outright, but They're false teachers. And so you don't want them just to come into the house and take away God's people, because that's what can happen. Okay, so let's begin reading verse number 7. It says, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of God." I like what Matt said last week. I believe it was Matt. Because not only do we need to learn, but we also have to have knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is applying what we've learned. So many of God's people, they know God's word, but they don't have the knowledge of it. What do you mean? They don't apply it to their heart. They don't apply it to their life. So, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So, again, now in verse number 9, it says, "But they shall proceed no further, but their folly shall be made manifest in all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Do you see these words here in verse number 12, verse number 11? It doesn't say persecution, does it? It doesn't say affliction. It says persecutions and afflictions, meaning Paul went through many persecutions. Matter of fact, he named three of these persecutions that were listed at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Can anybody take a stab of what he went through in those three cities? Stoned. He was stoned, exactly. Left for dead and kicked out of a city. Those are the things that he went through. So let's read verse number 12. It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Well, that's not a real good way to end this right here, is it? Let's read it again. It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ, Jesus shall suffer persecution." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be back here this morning. I thank you for your people who are faithful to your house, faithful to your word. Lord, I pray that as we go through this morning, that you begin to reveal the things that you want us to learn this morning. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. So verse number 9, it says, "But they shall proceed no further, but their folly." What is another word for folly? Stupidity, I like that. Okay, what's another word for that? Folly? What's that? Their sin, what'd you say, Nancy? Foolishness, that's the word I'm looking for this morning. Their foolishness is, what's it say? Is, shall be manifest unto all men. What's that mean? Made known. It's going to be made known to them. Their foolish lifestyle, their foolish ways. By the way, when you think about it, don't we all kind of live foolishly at times? We do. Let's be honest with ourselves. I don't know how you live, but I know how I live on occasions. So it says, "For their folly shall be made manifest in all men, as theirs also was." Paul is going to take a different direction now. Because now, for the last several weeks, Paul's been talking to Timothy about the people that he's going to encounter in life. Where is this direction taken right now? The focus right now in verse number 10 is no longer on the people, the group of people that we went through the last couple weeks, but now it's upon somebody else, and that is, look at it very quickly. It's in the first six words there.
Us.
No? But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Who's that referring to? That's referring to Paul. Okay? This verse here is referring to Paul, talking about his doctrine. Okay? Let me ask a question. I'm trying to figure out how I can ask this. And please, this is Sunday school time, and so I like class participation. I like answers. And I know everybody that's watching through our YouTube is not able to hear everything, which is why I try to repeat it. But what doctrine is Paul known for? I can think of a couple right off the top of my head, but I'm going to give you a chance to answer. Okay, doctrine is the truth that we practice, that we believe, to help you out a little bit. I'm hearing Greg whisper just a little bit. What'd you say? Exactly. That's what Paul's main objective was when it came to the doctrine, preaching Jesus Christ. Well, what did he preach about? Well, he preached about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but he also preached about the virgin birth of Mary. Those are a couple important doctrines that are forgotten about in some of our churches across our country, which is very sad and unfortunate, because they've walked away from the truth of God's word. And then they begin to put their own thoughts and everything else in there, and now they're believing their own thing, which is why it's important to stick to the Word of God. Amen? So, the other one is salvation. That was Paul's main objective as he was on this earth, was teaching salvation. Why? Because he wanted people to know exactly what he knew about Jesus Christ. There's two things in life that Paul is known for. What's the other thing that Paul's known for besides teaching salvation? Persecuting Christians. That's the only two things that Paul really had in his life. His first life before he was converted, we all know that he was a persecutor of Christians. He would some would be murdered, some would be put in jail, they'd be chased out of their own town for their belief in God, and that's what he's known for. But then this miraculous conversion by Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, as he met him on the road to Damascus, man, think about that. I mean, think about how God got a hold of your heart. Think about the circumstances that were around your plan of salvation. Paul was met by the Holy Spirit. He was blinded for 3 days. And then, out of nowhere, Paul's life has changed, and he does something that's very spectacular that I believe is very commendable to the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes out and he begins to preach immediately about what God has done in his life. There's a complete change in him. I say this for a reason. Because normally when we see someone come to know the Lord as their Lord, as their personal Savior, the change is a slow process in some people's life. And that's good, because sometimes if it's a quick process, it fizzles out very quickly. But Paul here was very quick, and he goes out and he begins to teach to the world that he just got done persecuting. 3 days before that, he's killing people, he's putting him in jail. 3 days later, he's doing what? He's being a witness for Jesus Christ. He's known now by Timothy for his doctrine. So with that being said, how does Timothy get to this point in life with Paul? How is he able to know Paul? Quick question. Okay, how do I know my wife?
Relationship,
exactly. I spend time with her. When we were first dating, believe it or not, we had telephones. I'm speaking to a group of folks this morning that knows exactly what that object on the wall was with a long cord. Technology advanced, and then you got the cordless phone. But I got to know my wife through conversations on the phone. I lived here, and she lived in Sioux City. And we had one heck of a phone bill. She had more of a phone bill than I did. But that's how we got to know one another, by talking, spending time together. Through that, we're able to fall in love. You ever thought about the word fall in love? I mean, how do you fall in love? You're just walking around, oop, I'm in love. I mean, that's how I think of it. But anyway, Paul is known, because that's what this says here in verse number 10. He's known not just by Timothy. It's saying that he's known by other people as well for his doctrine. So think about that statement. We know Paul by his doctrine, how we open up God's word and we're able to see this. Let me ask you a question, okay? This is something interesting for us to think about. When people look at you, how do they perceive you? What do they know about you? Do they know that you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Do they know your doctrine? Do they know of your faith in him? And we're going to go into this just a little bit deeper here as we continue to go on. So Paul is known by his doctrine. Okay, now we're going to move on to the next thing that Paul is known by, and that is manner of life. Okay, who wants to take a stab at what manner of life means? Conduct? Okay, yeah. How you conduct yourself. Well, what was Paul known before? Persecutor. Now he's not known for that. He had a different manner at that time. He conducted himself very differently. So with that being said, do we not conduct ourselves differently every single day? Now think about this. Here is a thought. What people see on Sunday when they see you is something they might not see on Monday outside of church. Why? Because you might conduct yourself differently inside these four walls than you do outside these four walls. What are you saying? Well, that's not the Chad Springer I know, because the one that I just saw today, he's not conducting himself. He's pretty worldly. He's pretty adamant about some things, and man, he's in the flesh. He's doing this. He's doing that. But Paul, there was a complete change. He conducted himself so much differently. So we need to be careful, because as people begin to know us and they know what our doctrine is and what we stand for, now they're going to see how we conduct ourselves. You know what another word for conducting yourself is? Your testimony. That's another word that we can use in there. How's your testimony out in this community? How's your testimony in your family? Those things. Okay, so we continue to go on, but that was fully known my doctrine. That was fully known my manner of life. And now it goes on to the next word. Thou hast fully known my purpose. What was Paul's purpose? What's that?
Spread the gospel.
You know, it was so important for Paul to spread the gospel back then. It should be even more so important to spread the gospel today. Why is that? Well, first of all, we live in a bigger world, do we not? Back then, the occupation was over out east. But now that the world has gotten bigger, we got more of a population. Now we're dealing with more corrupt people. What's that? And we're running out of time. As we wake up every single day, we ought to have a purpose to give somebody the gospel. You know, God creates situations for us every single day. But unfortunately, and we're all guilty of this, I shared with you last week how guilty I was. But we don't capitalize on those things. But we have a job to do as a believer, and that should be to have a purpose to spread the gospel. We shouldn't lay it upon anybody else. Well, so-and-so can do it. So-and-so can do this. So-and-so can do... No, God's called us as well. So we ought to have a purpose to, as we live our life for the Lord. I don't have a clock in front of me, so how am I doing on time? Can anybody tell me real quick?
10:26.
Somebody tell me when it's a quarter till. Usually I have my tablet in front of me with my time. Okay, so now we know Paul's purpose in life. Okay? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud, but what's your purpose? What's your purpose? We all have a purpose, amen? So let's go on. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, thou hast fully known my manner of life, and I'm throwing this in here because it goes with this. Thou hast fully known my purpose. Thou hast fully known my faith. What's faith? What is faith? Evidence of things not seen. Matt, what did you say? Believing God's going to do what he said he's going to do. But we discovered last week, it says, but without faith, it is what?
Impossible
to please God. So, with this verse that we just read here, people, when they looked at Paul, they knew of his faith. Paul lived by faith. Think about it. How did Paul live by faith? Where did Paul spend a majority of his life? In prison. Paul's main objective in life was a couple things. One, he wanted to spread the gospel. Two, he had a tremendous desire to get back to Rome. That's where Paul was wanting to get back to. But Paul faced a lot of interruptions in his life, and those interruptions was being thrown in prison. And it wasn't being thrown in prison for a month or two. He would spend a good chunk of his time in prison. Now, I'm not going to ask a question this morning, who spent time in prison in here? because I'm afraid of the hands that might go up. I just saw Gary nudge Carrie. That's something I didn't know. Carrie, have you spent time in jail? But what's that? But Paul is known for his faith. He was known, I want you to think about this. I brought that verse up for a reason. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Paul was known for pleasing God. That's how he lived his life. He didn't live that for a majority of his life, but now that he's a believer, now that he knows the importance of serving God, now he's doing what? He's living out his faith. Exactly. And because he's living out his faith, he's trying to please God. You know, that should be a goal of ours every single day, to live out our faith. Now, are we always going to be successful? No, we're not. Does that mean we give up? No, it doesn't mean we give up. That means we get right back on and try to continue to do it. How many of us in here this morning was excited when we got to a certain age where we can finally learn how to ride a bike? Do you guys remember that time in your life? Some of that might be 70, 80 years ago. Maybe the bikes weren't invented. Brother Marvin, did you have bikes back in your day? Okay. I was just seeing if you're awake back there. But as we go back to our childhood, we remember when we were trying to ride our bikes. Were we successful the first time? No. What happened when we got on our bikes? We wibble-wobbled. We're going back and forth, and we're going, and maybe mom and dad's behind us, and they're trying to stay up with us, and we're going, all of a sudden, splat, we're down. And what did mom and dad do for us? Well, good parents would. I remember when my daughter fell off her bike, I'm thinking, when this happened, I'm a mean parent, I guess. If you would have done what I told you to have done, you wouldn't have fallen. That's what I said. Now get right back up. But that's what we do as parents. We encourage our kids to continue to do what? Even if you fail, even if you fall, yes, you're going to have some bumps, you're going to have some bruises, you're going to have some scars. But don't let that keep you down. Living out your faith in God, you're going to fall. You're going to have some bumps and bruises. You're also going to have people along the way encouraging you. Hey, you can do this. Keep on going. Don't give up. Continue to get back on track. Amen? Amen. Live out your faith. That's important. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Thou hast fully known my manner of life. Thou hast fully known the purpose, my faith, and now long suffering. What's the other word for long-suffering? You suffer long. What was Paul long-suffering in? We don't know. His persecution. Exactly. He suffered long for his faith. We can look at it like that. Oh, that's so true. That's a good point. Knowing you're going to face something and not back out of it, you keep going. Suffering along. Good point, Kevin. Thank you. So that being said, I'm not going to dwell long on that one. The next one is charity. Paul's known for his charity? Really? Paul seemed like a rough individual. I mean, when I think of Paul, I think of this. Probably this half-sized guy, probably about 5'8", because they're not very tall over there. I picture him about 5'8", and I just picture a man. I mean, a man's man. He's just going to say what's on his mind. It's rough, and it's going to be offensive. And we see that in Scripture. But even with that being said, as you see him coming after people in Scripture, as he writes the epistles to each church, We got to look at something when he's writing this. Don't look at it as him being so judgmental towards him, but Paul is very loving. Very loving. He's known for his charity. It takes love to give the gospel to people that don't want it. The people here at this point in time didn't want the gospel. Some did, but not all of them did. You wouldn't believe it, but even today there's a lot of, I can't think of the word for it right now, but there's still a lot of false worshiping going on over in Israel. And you can feel it. The best way for me to explain it is this. I've been to New Orleans a few times, and I've heard of the stories people say about New Orleans. Man, you can just feel the corruption when you're there. It's true in certain areas. I will agree with that. You would walk into a certain area, and you can just feel the compression of satanic things. I mean, you just have this voodoo's here, voodoo's there, all that stuff. And you can just feel it. Even over in Israel, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, you can feel that today. Just because Jesus was over there, Jesus walked over there, doesn't mean that everybody accepted him. A lot rejected him. But it took a man who had great love, who had charity, giving. What did he give? He gave the gospel. Think about that. When you feel rejected by somebody, let's say when you go door knocking, and you say, hey, I'm from Open Door Baptist Church, I want to give you an invite, boom, door slams on your face. What do we normally do? We don't like rejection. And we go off and probably crawl in our little corner. But Paul, even with the rejection that he faced, he still went out and gave the gospel. See, it's always pointing back to Paul giving the gospel. Every single thing that we talk about with Paul, it's always going to point back with him giving the gospel. So he had charity. He was known for that. Then the last one, he was known for his patience. Where did Paul have to live out his patience in? Prison. Think about that. A man who had such a desire to get out and to preach the gospel to a world that does so desperately need it, he knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to be arrested. He knew he was going to be persecuted. But yet he went. He preached the gospel. He always go to the synagogue first. He'd get rejected there. He'd shake the dust off his feet. And then he'd go to the Gentiles. And then they'd find him. And then they'd put him in jail. And then that's where Paul would have to experience patience. But even during that time, as he's experienced that patience, God was using him tremendously. I can think of one time, just off the top of my head, without looking at Scripture, where God used Paul in prison. There's a great earthquake. What happened? His chains were loosed. He was set free. But he didn't go nowhere. He calmed the jailer down. The jailer was scared because he thought that the prisoners escaped, and that meant that his life would have ended. Because they were very cruel, not just to their prisoners, but they'd be cruel to the people if they lost a prisoner. And so he's very fearful. What happens? Because of his patience, because of him living out his faith, because he's known by his doctrine, because he's long-suffering, we see that the jailer comes to know the Lord as a Savior. But it doesn't stop there. Where does it go? His whole house. His whole house. Patience is something that we are not born with. We're born with a lot of things, are we not? But we are not born with patience. And I want to be honest with you. I agree with what Pastor said so many times. I do not like praying for patience. Why? Because when you pray for patience, guess what happens? Tribulations come our way. And so, but there's a lesson for us in patience. God's wanting to work in your life. By the way, even though the tribulations are going to come, guess who's with you? God. Guess who allowed that to happen in your life? God. God wants to use everything in your life for your growth. So look at it that way. As we continue to go on, verse number 11, Paul suffered persecutions. So we know that as he suffered persecutions, one of the first things that he suffered was he was kicked out of a city. We see that. We see that he was stoned. He was left for dead. And the third one slipped in my mind. But we see those instances taking place in his life. But yet, I'm going to use a word that I used yesterday as I was talking to our teachers. But yet, he persevered. See, Paul could have gave up. Man, if somebody would have came at me, if a town would have came at me with all these stones and they wanted to throw them at me, and they were going to leave me for dead, and I came back through, I was, there ain't no way I'm going back. I've had enough. See, when the going gets tough, usually in our age today, people quit. But I want to go back years ago. The saying was, when the going gets tough, what's it say? The tough get going. Folks, that is not true today. It's true in the older generation, but the younger generation, they don't live that way. It gets tough, they want to quit. And I say this for a reason. I'm so thankful that I got you folks in my life that I'm able to look back and I'm able to see, man, when things got tough for them, they kept going, they didn't quit, and that's how I want to live my life. Persevere. Persecutions are going to come our way. It comes with the territory. When you're a believer in God, and when you stand up for the things that you believe in, you're going to be persecuted. Now, we might not face the persecution that Paul has faced, but we'll face something. By the way, we don't know this as well as we should, but there are many believers today that are being persecuted the way Paul was. It's happening big time. There are Christians who are being martyred for their faith. For the things that they're standing up in what they believe, because of the government that they live in, they don't want to have nothing to do with it, and so they will persecute them. I remember reading something, I think it was about 5 years ago. I think it was in North Korea. I could be wrong on this, so don't. What's that?
It's Burma.
Burma? You know where I'm going with this?
No, I just thought that they're being persecuted really bad.
Oh, okay.
It's the same region.
Same region, okay. There was a highway that was being re-asphalted. And there's about five believers that did not deny their faith. And so they laid these five believers out on the highway, and they were going to give them a chance to deny their faith. You all know that when a road is asphalted, there is this big steamroller that packs everything down. That's what these believers faced. That was being persecuted for their faith in God. We don't see that over here in the States yet. Yet. But I believe the closer that God's return is, the more we're going to see this in our country. We're being shaped for it right now. With our government going the way that it's going, it's setting this up to take place. So what do they do with that steamroller? Use your imagination. Because that's exactly what they did. They did not deny their faith. There's going to come some times in our life you're going to have to stand, and you're going to have to stand tall. Is your faith worth it? It sure is. Because I look at it like this. Either way, I'm going to heaven. Either way, I'm going to heaven. Whether it be through death or whether it be through rapture, I'm happy with it either way, to be honest with you. I mean, you're not scared of death? Honestly, you know, I used to be. That used to bother me. Man, how am I going to die? But now as I got into a certain time in my life, point in my life, it doesn't scare me. It really doesn't. Because I've come to find out that I will be in his presence no matter how you look at it. That's the best attitude I can have about it. Will folks be sad if I go? Probably not, but life goes on. But persecutions, afflictions, how am I doing on time? 43, okay? So these things will come. Verse number 12, it says this. Yea, say it with me because this is for us. Verse number 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Should that scare us? No. It should not scare us. Why? Those three instances that Paul took place in, guess what happened? Guess what happened? Are you guys ready for this? I'm excited to tell you this. I don't know if you got this, but even though he was stoned, even though he was kicked out, even though he was put in jail on so many occasions, guess what? God set him free. God set him free. God had his hand upon him the whole entire time. Guess what? Here's something to be excited about. We're his sons and daughters. He's got his hand on us. And I'm going to say this. If you go through any type of persecution or affliction, God designed that for you. He designed it for you. And he will deliver you from it. Now, how he delivers you from it, that's up to him. That's not up to me. Well, what if I go to heaven? Well, you're being delivered from it. What if I make it through? Well, you're being delivered from it. That's God's decision. That's not mine. But I'm happy to know that God will deliver us through that. But here's the key thing. We got to be living godly in Christ. It's not just an outward thing. It's an inward thing. Well, I need to wind this down, but we're going to finish this up next week. I get excited about this. I hope you don't mind for me taking my time to go through this because there's so much here that I just don't want to overlook. And we're going to find this out in Revelation tonight. I'm going back through the same things in Revelation tonight that I didn't get to bring up last week. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, my mind's blown. Yeah, that's what this younger generation does. My mind was blown. I'm sitting in awe of God. But God's good, amen?
Amen?
Well, let's have a word of prayer. You guys can have a few moments of fellowship. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. I thank you, Lord, for what you will do in our lives. Lord, if persecution and afflictions come our way, help us not to be troubled by them. But Lord, help us to live out our faith as we go through this, knowing that you will deliver us from them. We thank you for loving us, and thank you for giving us the privilege to love you back. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.